At about that time in Washington, a mid-level CIA bureaucrat had an idea. They were feeding live and taped coverage from the Siberian battlefield over the internet, because independent news coverage wasn't getting into the People's Republic. Why not, he asked his supervisor, send them CNN as well? That decision was made, though it was possibly a violation of copyright laws. But on this occasion, common sense took precedence over bureaucratic caution. CNN, they decided quickly, could bill them later. And so, an hour and 20 minutes after the event, www.darkstarfeed.cia.gov/Siberia Battle/Realtime began to cover the coverage of the near destruction of Washington, D.C. The news that a nuclear war had been begun but aborted stunned the students in Tiananmen Square. The collective realization that they themselves might be the targets of a retaliatory strike did not so much put fear as rage into their young hearts. There were about 10,000 of them now. They knew they had to do something. The ardor was increased by the commentators, many of whom opined that the only likely action for America was to reply in kind. For the students, the question now was not so much life and death as saving their nation, the 1,300 million citizens whose lives had been made forfeit by the madmen of the Politburo. The students marched with remarkable discipline to the seat of their country's government. There were only 40 armed men in the building. The four officers on duty at the main entrance were just swept aside as the crowd thundered in through the double doors. They ran to find the reserve force. By the time they got there, the students were running up the wide stairs to the second floor. The meeting room was soundproofed, a security measure to prevent eavesdropping, but soundproofing worked in both directions. And so the men sitting around the table did not hear anything until the sudden entrance of 15 young people. "What is this?" Zhang Hansan thundered. "Who are you?" "And who are you?" the engineering student sneered back. "Are you the maniac who started a nuclear war?" "There is no such war. Who told you such nonsense?" Marshal Luo demanded. His uniform told them who he was. "And you are the one who sent our soldiers to their death in Russia." "What is this?" the minister without portfolio asked. "I think these are the people, Zhang," Tian Kun observed. "Our people." More of the students forced their way into the room. "Tell me, boy," Fang said gently to the one closest to him, "how did you learn all this?" "Over our computers, of course." "Well, one finds truth where one can." "So, grandfather, is it true?" "Yes, I regret to say it is," Fang told him. Just then the troops appeared, their officer in the lead with a pistol in his hand. "Now, everyone be at ease," Fang said. "You, Comrade Major, do you know who I am?"
"Yes, Minister, but..."
"Good. First, you will have your men stand down. We need no killing here. There has been enough of that." The officer looked around the room and, waving his hands, had his men relax a little. "Very good. Now, comrades," Fang said, turning back to his colleagues, "I propose that some changes are needed here. First, we need Foreign Minister Shen to contact America and tell them that a horrible accident has occurred, and that we rejoice that no lives were lost as a result, and that those responsible for that mistake will be handled by us. To that end, I demand the immediate arrest of Premier Su, Defense Minister Luo, and Minister Zhang. It is they who caused us to embark on the foolish adventure in Russia that threatens to bring ruin to us all. Comrades, what is your vote?" There were no dissents. Even Tan and Interior Minister Tong nodded their assent. "Next, Shen, you will immediately propose an end to hostilities with Russia and America. Are we agreed, comrades?" They were. "For myself, I will meet with these young people to see what other things are of interest to them. You, Comrade Major, will conduct the three prisoners to a place of confinement.
Tian, will you remain with me and speak to the students as well? Yes, Fang, I will be pleased to. So, young man, Fang said to the one who'd seemed to act like a leader, what is it you wish to discuss?